All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries, Craig House Christian Fellowship. We're in a series, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. The message today is, The Spirit is Truth. This message will be delivered by Stephen Craig. I am Dr. Mary Craig. And today is May 28, I think. May 28, 2023. So, let's have an opening prayer. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. Thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. Thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. Thank you that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. Thank you that he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, Lord God, that by his reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. Thank you, Lord God, for the sending of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of Truth, guiding us into the truth. That he come as the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Please, Lord God, especially today, as the message is on the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit is truth. Lord, help us to pay attention. This is so important to our lives and well-being. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Message, The Spirit is Truth. Now we turn to the epistles or letters of John. The Gospel of John sets forth in Jesus' own words a full disclosure of the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to carry those disclosures of John's Gospel with us as we delve into John's letters and into the Revelation. 1 John alludes more to the work of the Holy Spirit than to the personal relationship of the Godhead. However, there are passages which show the Holy Spirit personally distinct from the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:20 and 1 John 3:24 speak of the Holy Spirit as communicated and as given to believers. Here is 1 John 2:20 and 21. And you, and that's plural, an anointment/anointing are having, that is present active, from the Holy One, and you, plural, have received / are aware of, that's perfect active, all. So I'll read that again without the extras. And you, an anointing, are having from the Holy One, and you have perceived, are aware of all. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And that was the ESV version. Let's consider the context. Beware of antichrists. Okay, dot, dot, dot. You, however, have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. And this next part is underlined here. Beware of antichrists was also underlined. I have not written to you because you lack knowledge of the truth, but because you have it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Okay. Now the normal sections we go on here. Who is the liar if it is not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Okay, and the dot, dot, dot. And this was from the Berean Study Bible off of BibleHub.com. In addition to context, theologians also consider the grammar. Here we have the, quote, oida, quote, kind of knowing. Okay, so the reference for oida is G1492, and that's O-I-D-A, oida, and the pronunciation is O-I-D-A, and that's a more supernatural knowing, and the definition is to know, remember, appreciate, and cherish, and it's used in a lot of places in 1 John, 2:20, 21, 29, 3, 2, 5, 14, 15, chapter 5, verses 13, 15, so we have 15 again, 18, 19, and 20. Okay. Another kind of knowing is, quote, ginosko, quote, in Greek. And in the, because it's the Strong's reference is G1097. And it is ginosko, spelled G-I-N-O-S-K-O. And the pronunciation G-H-I-N-O-C-E with the emphasis. -K-O, and it also says long, quote, O, quote, sound. It says long O sound, so gnosko. And then we just have the number one definition here, to come to know, to get a knowledge of, perceive. And it is used in 1 John 2, verses 3, 4, 18, and 29, chapter 3, verses 19 and 24, chapter 5, verses 2 and 20, and Revelation 2, 23, and 3, verses 3 and 9. So now we're going to go to 1 John 3, 24. And it looks, I'm looking up at the top, and that's one of the gnosko, okay. And the one keeping the directions / precepts of him in him is remaining, in him is remaining, and he in him, and in this we are, and this one's underlined, knowing that he is remaining in us out of the Spirit which to us he gives. Okay? So 1 John 3, verse 24, I'm double-checking here, is only listed in our list for the Gnosko. So I'll read that again. And the one keeping the directions, precepts of him, in him is remaining, and he in him, and in this we are knowing that he is remaining in us out of the Spirit which to us he gives. Here is our verse in context. And then it says, love one another. Okay? And so the context, so we're going back now to verse 23. So that other one was verse 24. We're going to read the whole thing from the BSB translation. So starting it back at verse 23, 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we should love one another just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments remains in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he remains in us, by the Spirit he has given us. Okay, and the know we had underlined there. John plainly shows that he regards the communication as imparted to us by the Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enlightens the previously blind, making the believer able to see and to receive the light of God. This process continues throughout the believer's life until glory. And the reference is Proverbs 4, verse 18. This is not some mere informing of the mind or communication of spiritual knowledge. It is a, quote, down where we live, quote, consciousness of the truth that we receive from the Holy Spirit. What we receive from the Holy Spirit in truth stays in us. It abides in us. The anointing enables the believer to perceive the true nature of sin, opposition against God, expressed in self-pleasing. With increasing awareness, we discover the truth of what it means to be, quote, totally depraved, corrupt at the very core of our being, quote. By the anointing, we grow in our ability to detect the deceptions of Satan, who was out there convincing us that good is evil and evil is good. By the anointing, we apprehend and take unto ourselves the claims of God, that God is worthy of and infinitely entitled to our worship. We learn God's ways in the path of practical holiness. We behold the perfect necessity and sufficiency of Christ, that Christ is the only one who could and has met all God's claims upon us. By the anointing, we feel the truth that the flesh profits nothing, and that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We see our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the fullness of Christ. We move from darkness to light, from a core bent toward iniquity to a core of truth. And that T in truth was capitalized in the notes. Truth in the inward parts, truth in the core of our being. Okay, now this is going to be a quote from A.W. Pink. What the Holy Spirit writes on the heart remains. The anointing which you have received of him abides in you. 1 John 2:27. And neither man nor devil can efface it. That was A.W. Pink. The Holy Spirit is truth. That's capital T, truth. He teaches truth, and absolutely not does he teach falsehood. There is no lie in him. As long as he is teaching you, you are abiding in truth and thus in him. This anointing is a teaching one. It enlightens understanding. This oil or ointment was first put on Christ without measure, and from Christ descends to all those who comprise his body, capital H, capital B, in truth. By the Spirit of Truth, that's the capital S, capital T, we can discern the spirit of whoredoms and error, the spirit of Antichrist. Believers have the anointing spirit from the Father as well as from the Son. And so the Spirit is the token that we are in the Father and in the Son. Those who have not this anointing, that's capital A, who have not the Holy Spirit, are none of Christ's. Okay? We have, and this was have was in all caps in the notes, we have this anointing, but many believers continue acting as if they do not. Many of us are weak for lack of the capital T truth of the capital W word of God. Right? We can, and that was all caps can, we can announce the truth, capital T truth, apply the atonement which we have received, and establish the kingdom of Christ, that establishing taking place within us first. The Holy One is Jesus Christ. And we have some references, John 6, verse 69, Acts 3, verse 14, Revelation 3, verse 7, for example. By him we have this anointing. We have the basis of all knowledge in order to see things straight. We don't have to be, quote, off, quote, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We don't have to follow worldly wisdom and the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't have to follow worldly wisdom. I'm reading that again. And the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. As to the names or titles given to the Holy Spirit, he is called the Spirit of God, 1 John 4, verse 2. As the one, capital O, sent forth from God. And then looks like ectaltheo. Anyway, it's E-K space T-O-U space capital T-H-E-O-U. And the reference is 1 John 4, verse 3. 1 John 4, verse 4 points us to victory. And this is in bold and quoted. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, I'll read that again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the wherewithal to defeat the enemies of Christ at work in our own lives and seeking to destroy us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He opens the mind to truth and teaches the mind to distinguish truth from error, 1 John 4, verse 6. He is called the unction or anointing from the Holy One, who anoints the followers of Christ as he anointed Christ himself. 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27. 1 John 5, verse 6 is one of those rare places where we can reverse the two nouns. The Spirit is the truth. So if you reverse those, I guess it would be, well, the Spirit is the truth is the Spirit. And that's capital S in Spirit and capital T in truth. So the Spirit, the truth. The truth, the Spirit. Okay? And now I'm going to read from the Common English Bible. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The quote, not quote here is ook. It's spelled ook, O-U-K. Okay? So the quote, not quote here, so to say, the not here is ook, O-U-K. And it is absolutely not. Okay? So not, ook, which is absolutely not. Okay? Now I'm looking at this must be 1 John 5, verse 6, and it is a lot of Greek letters. And I'm hearing from my dear mother, skip it. Okay. This is her message, remember. I'm just the reader. And there is a little note in English, in parentheses, that says, the Spirit is the witness, the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Okay, moving on. The Holy Spirit is the truth itself. The Spirit is the one, that's capital O, one, who testifies. Okay, I'll read that again. The Spirit is the one who testifies, or bears witness. 1 John 5, verses 6 and 8. The water and blood refer more likely to the first witness of Christ's baptism and anointing and the miraculous events connected with it. That first witness of water attested to Christ's messianic commission. By the blood, we understand it to speak to Christ's departure to the Father, or the termination of Jesus' earthly task by the anointing sacrifice, rather by the atoning sacrifice, which was accompanied by striking miracles, okay, which was accompanied by striking miracles, okay, Matthew 28, verse 51. The third witness, that of the Holy Spirit, speaks of the outpouring of the Spirit given on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit that spoke by the mouth of all the apostles who preached with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. The Holy Spirit accompanied the oral testimony of the apostles with astounding miracles, and the Holy Spirit moved the apostles in their writings. I could probably emphasize and say, the Holy Spirit moved the apostles in their writings. The apostles' words were accompanied with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that was the reference is Hebrews 2, verse 4. But the Spirit's testimony was also internal, i.e., he made all internally effective and available to the elect. Okay. So in 1 John, we find John referring also to Christian assurance when he says, okay, so I'm going to read that again. So in 1 John, we find John referring also to Christian assurance when he says, quote, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. So I'll read that again because I have it here in bold. We know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Okay, that's 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13. Paul calls the Spirit the earnest, capital E, earnest. John declares that the Holy Spirit given to true believers gives them a knowledge and all assurance of divine love. This is consistent with Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 5, verse 5. Now, we have brought up several times the two Greek words, gnosko and oida, that are used for to know in the New Testament. Okay. Now I'm looking at some Greek letters / gnosko, okay, with a little emphasis on the two O's, / Strong 1097, okay, 1097. And then it says, and, well, I can kind of see that in Greek, actually, oida. And then we have slash E-I-D-O with the emphasis on O, and then in parentheses, or oida. And the reference, Strong 1492. Gnosko signifies objective knowledge. And we have to pay a little bit, let me just say, just pay close attention right now, okay? Gnosko signifies objective knowledge. What a man has learned or acquired. Okay? Gnosko signifies objective knowledge. What a man has learned or acquired. The English expression being acquainted with perhaps conveys the meaning. Being acquainted with. And okay, now we're going to move to oida. Oida conveys the thought of what is inward. Okay, the thought of what is inward. The inward consciousness in the mind. Intuitive knowledge not immediately derived from what is external. So I'll read that whole thing again, but from oida. Oida conveys the thought of what is inward. The inward consciousness in the mind. Intuitive knowledge not immediately derived from what is external. Okay. It says, this is a bit technical, but worth it. This is the difference between gnosko and oida. The difference between the two words is illustrated in John 8, verse 55. Ye know gnosko, him not, but I know oida him. Okay? Ye know gnosko him not, but I know oida him. Oida. Know him. Listen to John 13, verse 7. What I do, you do not know, oida, now, but you shall know, gnosko, hereafter. Okay. The word oida is used of Christ as knowing the Father and as knowing the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, of Paul's knowledge of a man in Christ, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, and of the Christian's knowledge that he has eternal life and the knowledge of God himself. From the word meaning inward conscious knowledge, a derivative means conscience. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For I know, and it says synoida, which is Strong 48:94. I'll read that again. For I know nothing against myself. I am conscious of no fault. Okay. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. I know oida, Strong 1492, whom I have believed. I have the inward conscious knowledge of who the person is. It is not just, I know him. Okay, next point here. And I'm reading ahead. Okay, this is, I know whom I have believed. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. I have the inward conscious knowledge of who the person is. The difference between the significance of the two words is often slight, and objective knowledge may pass into conscious knowledge. I'll read that again, but I'm going to continue on here. But not vice versa. Objective knowledge may move into inward acquaintance, but listen to these strong words in John. Okay, so let me read this whole thing again. The difference between the significance of the two words is often slight. The objective knowledge, and I'm thinking that would be gnosko, may pass into conscious knowledge, which would be oida, but not vice versa, not in reverse. So objective knowledge, gnosko, may move into inward acquaintance, oida. But listen to these strong words in John 3, verses 10 and 11, from Jesus to Nicodemus. Starting at verse 10. You are the teacher of Israel, said Jesus, and you do not understand, gnosko, these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, that what we know, oida, we speak, and what we have seen, we bear witness to what we have seen. And our witness or testimony, you people do not receive or lay hold of. Okay, that was 10 and 11. John 3, 10 and 11. Dr. Simon... Okay, so I'm getting instruction. I'm getting real-time direct instruction from the author of the message here. Well, the Lord is the one who gives the word of God, but my mother then wrote it in the message. Anyway, so she's instructing me. Read this again with the emphasis, okay? So this is John 3, verses 10 and 11. You are the teacher of Israel, said Jesus, and you do not understand, gnosko, these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, that what we know, oida, we speak, and what we have seen, we bear witness to what we have seen, and our witness or testimony you people do not receive or lay hold of. Okay, that was good. Dr. Simon Kistemacher, and my mother wrote this, it reads, one of my seminary professors, this was one of her seminary professors, said it something like this. Gnosko is like I know you. Oida is like I know you. And, of course, that's why I was reading it the way I did, because I had read the message ahead of time, and I knew that was coming, so I decided to put it into practice in the message. But that's where it came from, Dr. Simon Kistemacher, okay? The emphasizing for oida, I know you, versus gnosko, I know you. John 8, verses 31 and 32. So he said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know, gnosko, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That was the gnosko. Final thoughts. Truth. God's word is truth. The Word is living and active. The Holy Spirit is the life giver, the life maker. Some are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. And way is capitalized W, life capitalized L, truth capitalized T. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And she capitalized every word, every letter in there to emphasize, there is liberty. John 17, verses 2 and 3, King James Version, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Now, is that oira, do you think?
Yes, that's what you missed.
Gnosko, okay. And this is eternal life, that they might know. I think we read that earlier as well, that same verse. Sounds a little familiar. Anyway, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus said of some, I never knew you. He also said that he knew his sheep, and they follow him when they hear his voice. So here's another scripture. This is the this is in the New King James Version, and it's going to be gnosko, to come to know, recognize, perceive. Okay, and it's starting at a verse 21 going to verse 23. I'm not exactly sure. Okay. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never, and that was underlined here, knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that new was gnosko.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was going to say this earlier to Stephen. When Jesus said, I never, that's a strong, like, I never knew you, the gnosko, like, that's, like, like when you first meet somebody, like I never even met you. I don't know you at all. Because gnosko is like when two people first meet in a relationship, and like there's an introduction, and this is like, I never even made an introduction. I don't know you at all. I never knew you. Because remember, for the elect, the elect were chosen before anything was created. And God knew us. God knows every elect person, every true believer, from before the creation of the world. These are very strong words. I never knew you, not even Gnosko. No. Like, who are you? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Very strong words.
And John, so next is John 10, verse 27. And this is the gnosko, the G1097 word, gnosko. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never, never not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The ESV version. May the Lord reveal truth to us such that we comprehend, perceive, acknowledge, align, and live according to the word of the living God. May the Holy Spirit, the witness, and the Spirit of truth lead us into all truth. Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to bear witness to the truth. May we know Him who is our life and lay hold of the connection between that life and the Word of God and the witness and the truth. The bond of the true believer to Christ is the bond of the covenant in Christ's blood. It cannot be broken. Behold the comfort and severity of the Lord. His love is pure, harmless, holy, and undefiled. His is a jealous love that will not let us go. He is the flame of Yah and will do what he must to prepare us to live together eternally with him. Amen.
Amen. So, Lord God, we pray, Lord, as we conclude this message, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all those who know that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they were in your mind and in your heart. They were elect. They were chosen before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who knows whom they believe. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those that you will never forsake. You will never leave or forsake. That we know you, Lord. We have a testimony. We bear witness to the truth. God, help us to do it faithfully and as pleasing to you. Help us to be that witness. For that power comes from the Holy Spirit, as we is celebrated this year on at this time, which we call Pentecost. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.